The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience: Dr. Dave's devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but remember, the Bible teaches there's a time to laugh. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Remember, the Bible teaches, in regards to the media, there's a time to cry. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use? Probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Remember, everything we do is hopefully a blessing, or at least most of it, or some of it, or maybe just a little tiny little bit of it anyway. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. Everything you need to know about us coming in this next line. We don't know what we're doing. There you go. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk truth with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian, and here is a doozy. Which area do we need to have more hope in? What area in your life do you need to have more hope in? A solid question. If you, by chance, have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, or if you have a praise report or a prayer request, okay, it could be any of that. We don't want it to die of loneliness. Give it a chance to breathe. Just reach out to us and call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like finding an unexpected gift at your front door. What? Aww. That's so cool, right? You're there's like, what is this? Who is this from? What is this for? And it's not even your birthday.
Thank you, David. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday to you too, my friend. You're doing an excellent job, so I want you to know that. People love you.
Thank you.
Now listen, we don't dislike any, right? Everybody would know, but Jammin' Jacob's stepping up to the plate, and that's what we need. And here you've got this other thing I want to bring up to you. So you might have something like a prayer request or a praise report. Okay, you might have something that's like, I want to share this. Cool. Do so. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord do so, or you know, let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim it. That is our position, that the Lord blesses us, helps us, guides us, strengthens us, protects us, answers prayer, which some of us, we go, well, he answered two of these three prayers. I have to wait until the third part's over. No, you don't. You can always be thankful for the great things that God is doing, and you should always be grateful for the great things that God is doing. Share it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And in a nutshell, you can also bring your prayer request. We'll take our faith with your faith. We'll put our faith together. We'll petition the Lord and seek the kingdom of God and ask for heaven to come blazing through into the sphere of the earth and bring about the miraculous. That's fantastic. If you want to call, you can do so. If you want to text, you're like, you know, that phone, Dave, that phone calling and talking to people. I don't know. All right. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Let me help you out with a non-professional voice.
214-210-8483.
There you go. So you can either call or you can text or you can send an email. You can do that too. That's kind of cool. An email is electronic mail, and you would just send that to David at hemustincrease.org. That's David, D-A-V-I-D, at the A with the goofy circle, hemustincrease.org. We're also going to send you up to the website. Couple things to tell you about that. Access to 4,500 hours of podcasts covering everything I can think of in the last 10 years. It's just a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff up there. Let me just say that. If you're looking for something in particular, you can always email me, and I'll kind of direct you. I'll help you, you know, pinpoint what you're looking for. The other part is that we need partnership. So in our situation right now, we've had a tougher month than I'd like to confess we're having, but I've also been challenged by the Lord to just trust. So instead of running away, freaking out, even from yesterday's message, you take what you have, and you don't say, there's not enough here. You take what you have, you lift it up to heaven, you say thank you, and you give it away. And that's one of the things that we're going to be doing. And so I just want you to know, I want you to partner with me, believe with me, have faith with me. The scripture for donating, if you want to donate, is Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So we want you to do that, but only if you got a good heart in it. If you want to give but can't, the Lord bless you. If you don't want to give, please don't give. And if you're not sure, ask the Lord. You're always responsible for everything you have before Him, period. You are a steward of everything the Lord has given you. So check that out. See what He says. Petition. Find out. And if you can, great. And if you can't, great. Just participate and be with us. And certainly, please pray for us. Check it all out on HeMustIncrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Mananachu. Goopa noopa. Goopa noopa. Manatuto. Michimichu.
Yep, that's what I said. I just don't know what she's, you know, Jennifer writes these, you know, crazies. I don't get it.
I think that's from Star Wars.
It is from Star Wars, but it's like she's got like seven of those.
Yeah.
And they come in there. So right now, be in prayer for Jennifer, by the way. She's on a small trip. And so that means Jacob is running the station. Ooh, very interesting. So how's that going so far?
Good so far.
Okay.
No real problems so far, but we'll see.
Yeah. The day is young, my friend. The day is young. All right. We're going to do something a little different because I'm going to get into this teaching on Psalm 42. But I'm, Psalm 42. We're actually at verse 9. But I'm going to do it a little different. I'm going to give you the trivia question ahead. And we might even have an additional trivia question today, so let's just see how it goes. And then fair warning for the other part of the show, whether you're in San Diego or whether you're in Dallas, the other part of the show, I'm going to preach a message in the other part of the show that is my worst message ever. And I'm going to give it a second shot. That's really uplifting.
We'll be ready for it.
Now, Al wants to know, are we really doing additional trivia? Maybe not, but we're doing trivia early because of how much this teaching that I got to do. So we'll just see where it leads us. Anyway, here's your first trivia question. Let's just bring it on the board. What was the city in which Jonah was to preach? What was the city God told him to go to? Was it Nineveh, Tarshish, or Ephesus? What was the city in which Jonah was to preach? Was it Nineveh, Tarshish, or Ephesus? If you think you know the answer, you can send a – you first you can call us, 972-445-0101. 0770. So if you're in San Diego, it's about 1141. You just pick up the phone and dial that number. That's what you do. Pretty straightforward. 972-445-0770. If you're in Dallas, you can do the same thing. You just dial 972-445-0770. What was the city that Jonah was to preach to? Was it Nineveh, Tarshish, or Ephesus? And then you can also text 214-210-8483, no matter where you are. And also you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. There you go. So we'll have that opportunity. Somebody is calling in. Not an overly difficult question, but some people have to think it through. You got to go, wait, what? Nineveh, Tarshish, or Ephesus? That is the question that we are asking people. Then from that, and once we get the answer, we're going to be roaring into Psalm 42, verse 9. So we do have somebody ready to answer the trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
I'm speaking to Theo.
I'm speaking to Theo. How are you doing, Theo?
I'm doing all right.
All right. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Arlington, Texas.
Arlington, Texas. Well, thank you, brother, for calling in. Here you go. Here's your triv question. I'm going to lay it out for you and give you the chance to answer the answer forward. Here we go. What was the city in which Jonah was to preach? Was it Nineveh, Tarshish, or Ephesus?
It was Nineveh.
That is correct, Amundo! Right, now, Theo, when you call in, turn your radio down just a little. There's a little feedback there, so sometimes the radio goes bouncy, bouncy. So that's okay. That's just something to learn for the future. But here, great job. Did you know instantly? Did you hesitate? Did you think about Tarshish at all? Or like, no, it's Nineveh.
Instantly.
Okay, there you go, man. That is awesome that you called in and you answered the trivia question, and we greatly appreciate it, and thank you for that, my brother.
You're welcome, sir.
All right, God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Likewise.
All right. Awesome job. Thank you, Theo. Great work. Okay, here we go. Getting into the text, and man, this is something else. So let's see if I can get this even remotely correctly. Here we are at verse 9 in Psalm 42. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Oh, man. Listen, I don't want to mess this up because, you know, when this was written, it was written better than I'm going to be able to teach it. But let's understand what's going on. There's a feeling of distress that the psalmist has. I said to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? This, by the way, is a direct connection to Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? And he's going, why have you forgotten me? I go mourning. I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. I'm disheveled because of the oppression of the enemy. And as for the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say all day long, where is your God? Now watch this, because you're going to see this is not just people, but you'll see this is also spiritual warfare by the enemy, because there's this subjective feeling of distress when you're going through it. I mean, it's just, you know, it's nothing weird to say about that. It's distressful when you're going through tougher times, and it wars against our faith. Right? The situation by sight looks entirely different than the situation if we use faith to observe it. So again, and we've said it multiple times, when you have a situation and you insert the picture of Jesus, it changes the situation. The scripture says we walk by faith and not by sight. But too many times you and I, we get caught up in the sight moment. That takes us back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. What do you mean, lean not on my own understanding? Because that's you walking by sight. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. So what's going on is there's a distress. There's a fiery moment. There's a struggle. And against that struggle is your faith. And you're putting those together. And then a sidebar comes in. And the sidebar is an enemy. saying, where is your God? In the case of this context in this passage, this has to do with the actual enemies. But in our appreciation and the dynamic application principle of this in our lives, that's what Satan does. We go through it. It's a fight. We fight against what we're seeing because we're trying to operate in faith, the same thing I'm doing right now for the sake of this ministry, trying to do it right before the Lord, and then the devil is not too far behind going, where is your God? That's even more warfare and frustration because that distress is strengthened by that questioning of the enemy. That's what happens. Christians should need to be aware of this. They need to be aware, hey, you're going through spiritual warfare. There's a reason that we're supposed to put on our armor daily. Just read Ephesians 6, 12 through 18, all the way through, all of it. And we're supposed to put that on every day. There's clothes that we're supposed to be wearing. And they center around faith and trust and confidence and hope. And they center around having the Word of God. And they center around prayer. And we need to be those people that remember, hey, you have the best friend ever. I mean, you sing the song until you can't sing it anymore. What a friend we have in Jesus. Absolutely. But there's another song about what an enemy you have in Satan. And that's just the truth. People might not like that. They think, oh, well, that guy's got a red suit and he's got a pitchfork and he's wearing horns on his head. First of all, the devil comes as an angel of light. So that picture of him is just a ridiculous man-made construction. Two, it doesn't even follow scripture. But here's the thing you need to remember about the devil. His existence is allowed by God. And in his existence, he hates everything from God and of God. And so what he wants to do is he wants to diminish your faith. What did he do in the garden? Yeah, did God really say that? Yea, hath God said? So that's taking place at the same. So you got distress, and then you're fighting that distress with your faith. And then you're finding out that even while you're fighting that distress with your faith, there's another war going on almost simultaneously going, oh, yeah, well, where's God? He's not helping you now. But the answer all lies in the next two verses, as always within the scripture. So after you're going through the war, after the distress, after the warfare, right, and you're fighting it with your faith because you walk by faith and not by sight, and you're looking and fighting to do that, and you're scrapping through with spiritual warfare, and the enemy's like going, where is your God? Verse 11 tells you this, why are you cast down, O my soul? It's a repeat from the earlier portion of the scripture. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Again, remember, we talked about self-talk and God talk. This is self-talk. He's saying to his own soul, why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? When we're going through that distress, the challenge is that if we're operating in faith, we don't have to be cast down. We don't have to be disquieted within us. There does not have to be the turmoil within us. What has there got to be? The next verse. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why are you so cast down, O my soul? Why are you so disquieted within me? Hope in God. You looking for the answer? There it is. Notice the question we asked today, which area do we need to have hope in? Why? Because hope is an anchor to the soul. And what does an anchor do? It makes sure that the object anchored to it doesn't get blown out and blown away. It creates a sense of stability and security. And so hope becomes the power. It becomes the weapon. it becomes the effectiveness. In fact, it's one of the weapons, the hope of salvation, which is it's the helmet, which is supposed to, by the way, just so you can know, a helmet protects your head, which is where your mind is, and hope helps you fight the warfare, the spiritual warfare in your mind. And so that hope enables us to stand up against the distress and to push down the enemy when the enemy goes, where is your God? And then you even get to self-talk with it, because that's what the psalmist did, and said, why are you disquiet? Why are you cast down? Hope in God. Hope in God. What does hope mean? You know what hope means? It means all these great things. There's even acronyms, heaven, doing this, that. There's all this great stuff. You really want to know what hope means? Here comes God. That's what hope means. Here comes God. Okay. That's what we need. Yes, sir. Because as soon as God comes into the picture, everything changes. Look at the next part of the verse. You have to love stuff like this. Hope in God. That's the answer. For I shall yet praise him. What is that statement? For I shall yet praise him. Going through the distress, fighting the situation, trying to operate in faith. The enemy's coming against it, saying, where is your God? The psalmist says to himself, why are you downcast? Why are you disquieted? You hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. What does that even mean, I shall yet praise him? It means that his praise is going to be firing off from his mouth because God's deliverance is in route. And there is going to be a moment when it changes. And the person goes from the distress of saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? To thank you, Jesus, for helping me. See that in between those two? Verse 9, I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Yet, in verse 11, I shall yet praise him. So he's not going to say any longer, why have you forgotten me? Instead, he's going to say, praise you, God. Praise you for your deliverance. Praise you for your answers. Praise you for your freedom from this situation of bondage. Praise you that you've brought healing into this situation, that you've brought mercy, that you've brought grace, that you've brought victory. Praise you. And he says, I will yet praise him. What do you mean yet praise him? Can you praise him now? Of course. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You can always praise God, looking forward to the Lord's deliverance. And that's what the psalmist is saying. I shall yet praise him. Why does he say it that way? He's affirming his hope in God. I'm going to yet dance the dance. God's going to put my feet upon a rock, a new song in my mouth. I'm going to be dancing. People are going to hear it. They're going to hear my song and trust the Lord, just like Psalm 40 says. Just listen to the power of hope that's operating when things are discouraging and distressed. Think of what the psalmist is trying to say. Think of what he's communicating. He says, I hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. He knows that God is the help. He knows that God is the answer. No, he doesn't have God's Timex. Neither do you. Neither do I. And God, he always is perfect on timing. It's just not our timing, because our timing is we want it, and we want it now. So that's when you pray for patience. You go, I'd like patience. I'd like it right this second. That's what people do. And what I'm trying to tell you is, no, we can get past it. You can push past that. In your situation, your distress, there is no you're done. You're never done until God says it's done. And it might be as difficult as all get out. It might be so hard. It might be brutal. It might make you cry. It might make you weep. But God has not forgotten you. God has not ignored you. God has not pushed you aside. He remembers you. He knows you. He walks with you. And just for a reference sake, which we've talked many times on this show, when Jesus cried when Lazarus was about to raise from the dead, he wasn't crying for Lazarus because he was dead. He was weeping because all the people around him were so grieved from the death. He even knew that Lazarus was getting up. He even told the girls, Martha and Mary, I think he's getting up. But they didn't catch it. But then he was so touched by their pain. That's what God does with you when you're in your place you are right now. But he also knows the answer's coming, just like he knows Lazarus is getting up. It's going to change everything. But it doesn't mean God's heartless. He feels it with you. And that's so powerful. Instead of thinking of God as just this, we think of God as just this simple taskmaster. He's just got this big whip and so on and so forth. I think we forget that from time to time, God has a hanky. And he, I don't know if he's blowing his nose, but he weeps. Isaiah makes it clear that he suffers when his kids suffer. Like, what? That's his level of identity. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say to Saul of Tarsus? Why are you persecuting me? Who was Saul persecuting? The church. How did Jesus look at it? Like they were persecuting him. Uh-oh. That's called connection, right? Now listen. Don't give up hope. Say to yourself, with God in mind, say to your own soul, don't be downcast. Forward we go in God. Now, if you're in San Diego, we're going to keep this show going, and we'd love you to join us. You do that by doing hemustincrease.org, clicking on the Listen Live. If you're in Dallas, we want you just to hang out with us. We're going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere. Feels like I've been running. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. This is one of the first verses in my Christian faith that I learned. Which is, you don't think about it, but when I first became a Christian, people would share this verse with me. I didn't know why. I was going to find out why, because God was going to set me free from a lot of drug use, but I didn't know then what was going on. I was like, oh, I keep hearing this verse. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. So now in our society, you say the word slavery and people start going, and then everybody starts freaking out. You know what? We're never going to change what the gospel is, and the gospel is the reality, the truth. We're not going to alter it for culture. We're not going to say it differently so people aren't offended. If you're offended, turn the radio off, okay? That's your answer. You've got fingers. Use them. Here's you got the ability to turn it on. You got the ability to turn it off. Here's the bottom line. Every one of us, before Jesus Christ, was in bondage to sin. Every one of us. Now that we are in Jesus Christ, we are free from the penalty of that sin, and the Lord is working in us the process to overcome that sin practically. We've talked about it multiple times. You understand salvation from a little bit of a, multiple scripture point of view. Scriptures talk about salvation being past tense. Scripture talks about salvation being present tense. And scripture talks about salvation being future tense. But the only way that could happen is if, watch this, salvation is past tense, present tense, and future tense. See, it's the only way it can happen is because that's what it says. And so in that, we need to understand that from the past point of view, we are free from the penalty of sin. Yay! Currently, we're going through what is called sanctification, where we're being delivered. We're delivered from the power of sin, and we're learning in our own lives we don't have to live for sin. And then eventually, when we're with the Lord forever and ever, we will be free from the presence of sin, and there won't be any evil, any bad, any yucky. Okay? Cool. In the meantime, while the penalty for sin is done, while the freedom is there, the sanctification process is the one where he makes you look like Jesus, now that he's pronounced you to be like Jesus, and that's the one you got to fight through. That's the one that you have to go, you know what, I'm free, I just don't have to do that. I don't have to. That, therefore, becomes a responsibility. Because the scripture says, stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery, which means that you can. But if you do, it'll be your choice.
The David Spoon Experience.